The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Emor. We are now holding Bein Pesach La'atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos. That's between Geula, the Cherus, and Torah, between the redemption from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, and the giving of the Torah. And it's during that time that Israel prepared themselves for the giving of the Torah, for the Madregas HaTorah. This was a process of 50 days. And this is what the Torah tells us in this parsha. The Torah says, this is in Vayikra Chov Gimel, Pasuk Yud. Ksartem es ksira v'avesem es omei reishis ketzirchem ala kohen. Behini v'asayim alifnei Hashem mimochores ha-shabbos. On the day after Pesach, the day after the first day of Pesach, second day of Pesach, we were commanded to bring a measure of barley. And then, this was to the Beis HaMikdash. And then, Usfatim lachem memachores ha-shabbos miyem haviyachem es emar atanu v'shev shabbos es tzimim ha-shtiyah. No? You shall count 7 full weeks ad memachores ha-shabbos ha-shvish. Then, after that, tisbura chamishim yam, on the 50th day, we would bring another offering, ikrafta mincha chadosh al Hashem. Each of these offerings were the new offerings, the offerings of the new crop. We should bring an offering of wheat. And on that day was Shavuos. And this represented that every day between the Geulas Mitzrayim, the redemption of Egypt, and the giving of the Torah, Klal Yisrael had to grow. Midarga ledarga, from one step to another, until they came to the level of the receiving of the Torah. And this is what the Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, represents every year. So this evening I would like to spend some time on speaking of the power of the seichel, the power of the intellect. Because when we came to the level of the giving of the Torah, this represented the Kedushas HaSeichel. Man is made from a guf, from a physical body, and from a nefesh, from the breath of life which is given to that body, and from a seichel, from an enormous power of intellect which was given to him. This is the crown of man, and this is what Torah is. The perfection of that seichel and the kedusha of it. Therefore, this evening I would like to spend on a mishnah in Masechet Ovis, which deals with the seichel, with the chokhmah, with the wisdom of the person. It's a mishnah in Perek Hay, Mishnah Zayin. It states as follows. Shiva Dvorim Begelem V'Shiva Bechochem. There are 7 things which are peculiar to the Gelem, and 7 which are peculiar to the Chochem, to the wise one. Gelem, Rashi says, comes from the word Golmei Kli Eitz. When you make a vessel, when you have the mass of material, before you've given it shape, and before it has an identity, it's referred to as a galem. Ki zeh ein das klal begufay. person who has no das whatsoever, who has no seichel whatsoever, he's referred to as a golem. You all heard of the famous golem of the Maral. Well, this was more or less a person that was made from a mass of raw material, but was not given a seichel. This is why he was called a golem. So the golem is the extreme opposite of the chochem. What are the seven peculiarities that we find? Chochem is eina medaber bifnei mishu hu godel mimenu. When a chochem is in the presence of someone who is greater than him, he does not speak. If he does speak, he asks for permission to speak. And he speaks last, he doesn't speak first. And he doesn't arbitrarily contradict what the other one says who is greater than him. Now it states, Mishu godel mimenu bechochma ubeminyan. What does it mean when he's in the presence of someone who's greater than him? So one is chochma. Rashi says, Shehir bebeteiru yesh mimenu, someone who has learned more Torah than him. Minyan. Minyan, Rashi says, b'minyan shonim, u'b'minyan talmidim, tu peirushim. B'minyan shonim, someone who is older than him. Now this is something that we should all be aware of, but unfortunately not everybody is aware of. That even if someone is not wiser than you in wisdom, excuse me, but he's older than you in years, you must be careful not to speak before him and to contradict him and to wait. And you must speak very respectfully. The Vilna Gaon, in his letter, famous letter that he wrote to his family when he was leaving for Eretz Yisrael, the trip was aborted, but he planned to leave to Eretz Yisrael. One of the things he told his family, you must instruct the children that they must be mechabed kol misha godel mehemenu bishonim. They must give their heretz, respect to everyone who's older than them in years. This is one explanation, Rashi says in Shonim. Another explanation, Rashi says, minyan talmidim, also a chidush, in the numbers of disciples. If you have two chachomim, two wise people, and one has a few disciples and the other has many disciples, so then you must honor the one who has many disciples. Eina medaber bifnei mishu hu godel bimenu bechochma uveminyan, that you do not speak in the presence of someone who is greater in wisdom or in minyan, in number of years or number of disciples. Incidentally, on this set we say number of years. That's because generally a person grows wiser with years. Mor brings in a sechta kedushin that Rabbi Yechanan used to give honor even to an old Gentile, because with years Roh harbe dvorim, he has seen much, experience brings wisdom to a person, brings maturity to a person. The person's mind is contrary to other things that we have in the world. Yet usually what we have in the world deteriorates with age. You see, plants, animals, they reach a maturity, they reach a ripeness, and then they deteriorate. Also, the person's body, it says, ben shleishim lekeach, he reaches the peak of his strength at the ages of around 30 years old. when he's close to 40 already, he loses that. And then from there on, there's a deterioration. But when it comes to a person's mind, there's to the contrary. If he uses his mind, he doesn't let it grow stale. He uses his mind, the mind becomes better all of the time. And wiser all of the time. And that's why it states that Talmidei Chachomim are demele li'ayin yoshon. Talmidei Chachomim are like this, they are compared to old wine. Because another exception to that rule that everything deteriorates with age is wine. Wine, just to the contrary, the older it is, the richer it becomes, the better it becomes. And the same thing in Chochmah. Therefore, you have to respect someone who is older. So this is the first quality. That the Chochem does not speak, he does not interrupt. He does not offer his opinion first before someone who is greater than him in wisdom or in number of years or number of Talmidim. Secondly, he doesn't interrupt the other person when he's speaking. Two people are having a discussion, they're having a debate, an argument. You don't interrupt. You let the other person say what he wants to say, then you respond. And he lets you say what you want to say, and then he responds. Thirdly, he doesn't answer quickly. Because someone who answers quickly, then that's belay das, that's without wisdom. But he thinks first. Then he talks. We must always think first and then talk. Not talk first and then think. That's why it states that Torah needs yishuv. One of the qualities of studying Torah is yishuv. That's where you absorb, you listen and absorb and deliberate over what is being said. And then you can answer. Torah is not a shouting match. These are the qualities of a chochem. All of these qualities that we mentioned, the Mishnah is going to say v'chilufehem begelem, just the opposite by gelem. The golem, he wants to speak first, no matter who's present. Wiser people, older people, more knowledgeable people, he wants to speak first. Secondly, he's nichnas l'seik divrei chaveri. When someone is speaking, he interrupts him in order that he can get his words in. And thirdly, he's nivol l'oshiv. He answers immediately. He talks first and then thinks. These are the qualities of the golem. Because from the golem there cannot come out wisdom. The golem is a person without wisdom. The Maral says that one of the reasons why it says golem here, because it's speaking about someone who even lacks the chokhmas anushis. In other words, not only he lacks wisdom of Torah, he even lacks the wisdom of people. The chokhma tachtona. It's very interesting because today, if you watch an intellectual program on television, in other words, a debate is taking place, a discussion, an intellectual discussion is taking place. You see, each one is nichnas l'seik divrei chaveri. Everyone interrupts the next one. Or the announcer, the presenter for sure interrupts. And each one is nivol l'oshiv. Each one must answer immediately, must respond immediately. To the contrary, if you're not quick on the trigger, if you can't respond immediately, that's considered a sign of not being so intelligent. Those that can respond immediately are very, very intelligent. If you see a political debate coming on, right? The ones who can respond immediately, they don't understand that's the sign of a golem. Someone not only that lacks wisdom of Torah, but even wisdom of people. And unfortunately, this is the culture that we live in today. The fact is, that subjects that should be treated with writings, hundreds of pages, they try to take care of in 15 minutes, a half an hour. They allow everyone, you have 2 minutes, you have 1 minute to present your case. This is Nival al-Hoshiv. Recently we had the O.J. Simpson case. So somebody told me in the name of a judge that generally when there's a case in court and it lasts 1 or 2 days, so he as a judge, before giving judgment, he would review the whole case, all of the evidence, it's all in transcript, deliberate on it, and usually it can take him 2 or 3 days to review the evidence of 1 day in court. So if it's a court case that takes 2 or 3 days, he needs 4 or 5 days to review it properly, to deliberate over it, before he can give a proper judgment. Accordingly, the O.J. Simpson case, which took 9 months, 10 months, who knows, 15 months, took a year, over a year, should have taken years for the jury and the judge to come forth with a judgment. Yet in less than 2 hours, the jury reached its verdict. It shows you that the world has become a world of glomim, of the golem. Nival lohoshiv, where it's not a world of chokhmah, just the opposite of what Chazal are teaching us. Further, the next quality, shoel ki inyan umeshiv kahalocha. The chokham, when he asks, he makes sure. In Yiddish, this was always called a frekser zach. He asks on the spot, on spot. Not when the discussion is centered about one point, and then he asks for another point. If you're learning one mesechta, he doesn't come and ask from another mesechta. Secondly, he asks with wisdom. Yishael bitam. And the Chazal say, she'elos chocham chatzi tshuva. A question which is asked with wisdom from a wise person, that's half the answer already. Because he knows how to identify exactly what the difficulty is and how to define what the difficulty is, and he puts it all in perfect context. So a question, this is how a question should be. The same thing, you don't ask of a hollow. First you think. Many times the minute something comes to a person's mind, he shouts, he asks. Now, you have to think and go over it and find out what's wrong, and you put it in perfect context, and still, if you cannot figure it out, then you ask. This is what it means, Shael Kinyan. The Galem, just the opposite. The Galem, the minute something occurs to him, he shouts, he asks. Whether it has to do with this or something else, in confusion, in order. Umeshim kahalocho. And the one who answers must be answer kahalocho. That means perfectly straight. The answer must be so straight. Halocho comes from the word halicho, to walk. When a person walks, you don't walk crookedly. In crooked lines, you walk in straight lines. So his answer is almost like a halocho. So that's the next quality. Further, ve'emer al rishen rishen ve'al achrein achrein. When a person is asked a series of questions, then his answer should be in the way that he was asked, unless there's a good reason why to change the order. He should answer the first questions first, and the next questions next. This is the midah, the quality of the chacham. The galim, just the opposite. When a person is asked a question and he doesn't know the answer, how many times do we see a person's asked a question, he doesn't know the answer, so he gropes with all kinds of stabs in the dark to give an answer? The wise one will say, Leshomati, I haven't heard. I haven't heard an answer on this. I don't know the answer. The Galem will never say Leshomati. He'll try to find, to answer something. And then finally, Umeida ala Emes. The Chochah must always concede when it comes to the truth. There's a debate, there's an argument. No matter what the person held, if later on it becomes evident to him that this is what he held is not right, then he has to change his opinion and he has to concede to what the truth is. Meidale emes. The Galem is just the opposite. And then the Tana tells us, Bechilufeyem the Galem, everything just the opposite when it comes to the Galem. The Golem is the one who speaks before those who are greater than him in wisdom and in numbers. He interrupts the other person when he's speaking. He's Nivol Ohoshiv, he answers immediately without thinking. He asks not on the subject, and his question is all jumbled and confused. He answers also not straight. And when he's asked a series of questions, he doesn't answer them in order, but he answers them in all different types of order. When he doesn't know an answer, he will not say he doesn't know, but he'll try to give answers that are false. And when he's proven wrong, he will not be made ala emes. He will not admit that he was wrong. So these are the qualities of the Chochah and the qualities of the Galem. We are speaking here of seven qualities, as it states, Shiva Dvorim Begalem Veshiva Bechochem. What is the significance of the seven? The Maral explains. We're dealing here with a seichel. We said the intellect which was given to man, and this was the intellect which is the crown of man. This distinguishes him from all other creations, and with this intellect he can come to great wisdoms, and the greatest of all wisdoms of the Torah, both the wisdoms of this world and the wisdoms that come from higher worlds. We have to understand what is Chochmah and what is the Seichel. He says the essence of the person's Keach HaSeichel, the power of the mind, the power of the intellect, is to put things into perfect order, into perfect balance. The Yosher, the Seder, the Shivui. Put things in perfect balance, perfect order, to make them perfectly straight, where they have perfect equilibrium. This is the power of the Seichel that was given to man, the power of the intellect. And all of these qualities that we've mentioned here in the Mishnah, all are in regards to this. For example, that if you're sitting with people who are wiser than you or older than you, for you to give your answers first, this is not min ha-seder. This is not something which is in proper order. To interrupt people and not give someone a chance to talk, this lends to confusion. And confusion is just the opposite of the seichel. The seichel is the keach, the power, the force that man was given to enlighten and to organize and to put everything in its proper place. Nivel loshiv, when a person answers before thinking, how can that be wisdom? If the whole idea of wisdom is to sort everything out, let the mind organize everything to be in perfect balance. So if you talk first and think later, there's going to be confusion. Sheil ki inyanu meshiv kahalocho. If you do not ask on the subject that's being discussed, or your answer is not appropriate to what's being discussed, this is a bahola, this is a confusion. Eimal arishin rishin v'ala achrein achrein. If a number of questions are given in a specific order, especially if there was an intention for that order, and now you answer the last one first, and the first one second, and the middle one in the middle, you confuse the order. This is contrary to the seichel. And if a person does not know an answer, doesn't know what the answer is, but still insists on offering an opinion, he's confusing the issue. Umayd ala emes, and then to agree to the truth. The truth is the ultimate perfection of balance and of what's right, of the seichel. So this is the essence of the seichel. And these seven qualities are the seven qualities of the chochem, how to put everything into perfect context, perfect balance, where it should be yosher. And to the contrary, by the golem, he lacks this quality, so he's totally in a state of confusion, in a state of darkness. That's why the seichel many times is symbolized with light, because in dark we're confused, we can't see, we don't know where we are, we don't know where we're going. We can be supposed to be going north and we're going south. We should be going to the east and we're going west. We can fall over things. We go off the road. Well, the light enlightens everything and puts everything in its proper context and perfect order, and now we can see where to go. So the wise one walks in light. And the ignorant, the galem, he walks in darkness. The reason for seven, the Maral says, is because we find in this world six dimensions, six boundaries. For example, you can go up or down. You can go inward, you can go outward. You can go to the right, you can go to the left. Because the maximum amount of dimensions that you find in the physical world is six. Then we have a seventh dimension. And that's the Nekuda Emtzois. That's the middle, the midpoint. And that midpoint is what actually holds your whole physical dimension together. And that midpoint is ma'achad, unites everything together. So you have six directions and an akudem choice, a midpoint. The Tano here writes six qualities which guard a person from becoming or from going out of line. And then the seventh is Meidala Emes, that refers to the ultimate truth, which refers to the Nukuda Ho'emtsois, to the midpoint. So this is why we have the number seven, Shiva Dvorim. Seven things are said about the Galim and seven about the Chochem. Because the Seichel gives us the power to put everything in its proper balance, proper equilibrium, everything perfectly straight. Just like physically, you can wander off point in six different directions. You can go too high, too low, inwardly too much, outwardly too much to the right, too much to the left. And it's your midpoint that keeps you to the center. So is it in the non-physical world. There were six gvulim, six parameters, six boundaries, and then the kudo emtsois and the midpoint. We mentioned at times that this is the reason also why we find that the world was given seven mitzvahs, the Bnei Noach, the whole world, because these seven mitzvahs safeguard a person where he should walk straight. And Klal Yisrael that were given 613 mitzvahs, these are mitzvahs within those mitzvahs to pinpoint his perfection even more. Now we said that the final quality that is written by the Galim, by the Chochem and the Galim, is Meid Ala Emes, that he concedes to the truth, and that's again, that's parallel to the Nekud Emtsois, to the midpoint. When it comes to the ultimate truth, and this is what the Keach HaSeichel was given to the man, given to man, in order that he could find what is ultimately true. The Maral writes that we can learn three qualities about the truth from the letters of Emes. Emes is spelled Aleph Mem Tov. And from these letters, we can learn three qualities. Firstly, the three letters of the word Emes. One is taken from the beginning of the alphabet, the Aleph. One is taken from the middle of the alphabet, the Mem. And one is taken from the end of the alphabet, the Tov. And it's not merely coincidental that Emes is made up of these three letters. In Loshon HaKodesh, in the Hebrew language, every letter was selected by HaKodesh Baruch Hu. What does this represent? The Emes, which is the ultimate that the Seichel can come to, this represents perfect order and perfect balance. Something which is not a Yetziya min HaSeder, something which does not go off from the perfect order and balance and Yosha. And therefore you have the Aleph, the Mem and the Tov. Two things we see here. Firstly, the Aleph, Mem and Tov are Kesidron. They're written in the order of the letters of the alphabet. The Aleph, which is a first letter, is the first letter of Emes. The Mem, which is a later letter in the alphabet, is the second letter. The Tov, which is a later letter in the alphabet, is the third letter. Secondly, we see the perfect balance, because with these three letters, this represents perfect balance in the whole Aleph base. The beginning of the Aleph base is represented, the end of the Aleph base is represented, and the middle of the Aleph base is represented. So the first cloud, the first principle we see from the letters of the Emes, we see order and balance. The letters are Kisidron, they are written in order that they appear in the Aleph base, and they represent the perfect balance of the entire Aleph base. So that's the first principle of Emes that the letters tell us. A second principle . The middle letter is the Mem. This is the middle letter of the alphabet, and this is the middle letter of Emes. This is to show, we said that Emes refers to the Nekudem Tzois, the midpoint. The midpoint is really what gives balance to everything. Because when you want to measure, if you take a physical object and you want to measure it that it should be in balance, you measure it from the midpoint. You want to know that the right side should be equal to the left side, you measure from center. Your midpoint is what gives everything balance. And this is represented by the Mem, which is in the Aleph base, because this is the middle letter. And it's your midpoint that holds everything in order. This teaches us that Emes is what holds everything in order in the universe. Because the Emes represents the Nekudem Tzois, the midpoint, and the middle letter of the Emes is the midpoint of the Aleph Beis. And therefore, this is the force that holds everything together. And we go one step further with this. Yisrael, they were called Zera Emes, the seed of truth. And they were also called Yeshurun. The name of Israel was Yeshurun. Yeshurun means Yosher, something which is perfectly straight, not to the right or not to the left. That's the midpoint. The nations of the world, they go off in tangents. Some to the right, some to the left. Some up, some down, some in, some out. Just as the force of truth can hold the whole, your whole world, it can be the center force of the whole world to hold it in order, so does Israel, the nation of Israel, they also are responsible to hold the whole world in order. Because they are the Zera Emes. They were given Torah. They were given the force of the intellect to understand Torah. They represent the midpoint. And therefore they can carry the whole world, just as the Emes carries the whole world. And this is subtly indicated by the fact that the Mem, which is the middle letter of the Aleph base, it's your midpoint that carries and unites, that's the midpoint of the Emes. So that's a second principle that is taught in the word Emes. Again, the first principle is that the letters teach us that emes, its essence, is something which is perfect order and perfect balance. It has an aleph, a mem, and a tof that's in perfect order. That's how the order of these letters when they are in the aleph base. Aleph is first, mem is second, and tof is third. Secondly, we see from there perfect balance. Takes the first letter of the aleph base, the middle letter of the aleph base, and the last letter of the aleph base to represent perfect balance. So that's the first principle we see from the three letters. Second principle is that why is it that in the letter of emes, the middle letter of the word emes happens to be the middle letter of the aleph base? Incidentally, there's a great significance in the aleph base because it states that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created it with the aleph base. So why is it that the middle letter of the aleph base, of the emes, happens to be the middle letter of the aleph base? So this, he says, because it's your midpoint that keeps everything in order. How do you know something is off balance or unbalanced? We measure from the midpoint. And the midpoint also has that gravitational pull that holds everything in order. And emes is what holds the world together. If we left the world to Sheker alone, we know what kind of world that would be. It would have gone off into outer space where it would have disintegrated already. Like we see in space also, we see the earth is in perfect position. If it goes too far away from the sun, it will become ice. Goes a little too close to the sun, it'll burn up. Emes is the spiritual force that holds the spiritual world together. And this is the power of the midpoint. And this is Nirmas. This is indicated to us because it was not by coincidence that the word, the letter, the middle letter of the word Emes happens to be the middle letter of the Aleph base, which the Aleph base was the alphabet which Hashem created the world with. And further on this, Yisrael, they are called the Zera Emes. They are called Yeshurim. They were the ones who were elevated from Mitzrayim to the giving of the Torah, to the understanding of the Torah, to its wisdom, and to the ultimate truth. And it's their responsibility to hold the world in order. Nations of the world, they go off to the right or to the left or too high or too low. Your central point is Israel. So that's a second principle that we learn from the letters of Emes. A third principle he brings that we can learn from the letters of Emes. What is the difference between Emes and Sheker? Emes is fact. Sheker is fiction. This means like this. Emes is something which is real, while Sheker is something which is not there. You tell someone a story of something that never was, you're telling them fiction. It's interesting because in English language, if someone tells you something that is not true, so it's classified as false, you can't always tell him, though, he's a liar. He gets very upset if you tell him he's a liar. You've got to say is what he said was false. Because in the English language, a lie refers to something that he did intentionally. Or for example, if a person writes a book which is true, that's classified as nonfiction. It's a true story. But if a person writes a book which is not true, should be classified as a lie. If a true story is classified as a true story, then a story which never took place should be classified as a lie. When you tell him his book is a lie, he'll sue you. Especially in America, he'll put a suit against you. But it's not true. He'll say, well, it's not true, but it's fiction, but it's not a lie. The Hebrew language doesn't distinguish so carefully between that. There's emes, and there's what is not emes. What is not emes is sheker. If you want to deceive people or not deceive the people with it, that's another story. But michlau sheker leyotzer, but it's not. It has not left the category of sheker. And that's something that we have to understand. Western culture doesn't understand that. There is emes and there is sheker. That's why when you tell, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Elokeichem emes, and the Rambam writes, Mitziusai is emes. Ve'ein amitei shel kol dover ke amitei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the emes of everything in the world cannot compare with the emes of Hashem. Nobody can understand what he's talking about. He's saying very simply, it's because we are programmed for different things. Emes means something which is, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be called emes, because everything compared to him is non-existent. Why is it non-existent? Well, firstly, if it's a myth, so certainly it's non-existent. But even all life is non-existent compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's the one who gives it existence. So how can any existence be compared to his existence? If he is the one who gives it the energy of life every second and every microsecond, so is that an existence compared to his existence? That would be like saying that there's the branch of the tree and there's the tree. The branch of the tree is the same life as the tree itself. What do you mean? It's the tree that gives the life to the branch. So how can you compare the two? So that's what we must understand. Truth means it's real. If it's not real, then the Torah classifies it as sheker. So you must understand, when you read a fiction book, you are reading sheker. You're reading something that doesn't exist. Deceit, that's another question. If he chose to deceive you or not, that's with it or not. But the fact is, it's like the Torah says, Sheker Hei Bochi. What he said does not exist. Now, when it comes to existence, the strongest reality is always in the center. When it comes to going off on tangents, here we start to refer about things which are going to go out of the realm of reality. Why? Firstly, if you draw a line from a center point, eventually it'll come to an end, a sof. Something that comes to an end has lost its reality, while something in its center does not lose its reality. Secondly, when things go off on tangents, eventually they'll become lost. You cannot go in crooked ways forever. It will not carry on forever. Eventually become lost. So when we talk of things which go off in different directions away from center, there you are talking about realities that are becoming lost. But when you talk about realities that remain realities, They're in the center. So this is another principle that the word emes teaches us. Because emes represents with its letters the center. Its middle letter is the middle letter of the entire alphabet, of the entire aleph beis, the alphabet. To tell us that emes is the reality, when something which is not emes, that's non-existent. Now, these three principles, interesting to find that we find a complete opposite, total antithesis in the letters of Sheker. Let's see. Firstly, we said that the letters of Emes were all written in perfect order. The Aleph is the first letter, Mem comes afterwards in the alphabet, Tov comes afterwards, and that's how they're written in the Aleph Beis. Secondly, perfect balance. You have the beginning of the alphabet, the middle of the alphabet, and the end of the alphabet, all represented in Emes. So it shows us perfect order and perfect balance. You take Sheker Shin Kuf Resh. Firstly, the letters are not written in order. Shin Kuf Resh is a jumble, because in the alphabet it's Kuf Resh Shin. They're not written in order. They're not written frontwards. They're not written backwards. They're totally jumbled. Shin Kuf Resh. It should be written Kuf Resh Shin. Secondly, those three letters represent the end of the alphabet. They're the three last letters of the alphabet, with the exception of Tov. There's a reason for that, which I don't know if we'll go on at this time, but these are the three last letters of the alphabet. So in converse, that Emes represents a perfect balance and perfect order, Sheker represents confusion and extremity, the opposite of balance. That's the first principle. The second principle we said that Emes, the middle letter of Emes, happens to be the middle letter of the alphabet. And just like the middle letter of the alphabet will unite all the letters of the alphabet, so Emes will unite all of the forces in the world. Sheker is far from, its letters are far from the middle, to show that they unite nothing, but they're far away from center. Thirdly, we said that Emes, it represents the middle. Its middle letter is the middle letter of the alphabet, which represents Kiyum, which represents strength, reality, not something which is going off in tangents that eventually will become a non-reality, will become lost. The letters of Sheker represent extremities, all the last letters, because to show us that Sheker is something which does not exist, it's fiction, and fiction will become lost, it's not an existence, and therefore it's the last letters that will go off and eventually become lost. These are three principles that we can learn from the letters of Emes. Now the Chazal, these three principles are from the Maral. The Chazal, in this context, they've said two principles which fit in very closely to what we're saying. Firstly, they said the letters of Emes is Yesh Lem Raglaim. Emes Yesh Lem Raglaim, Sheker Ein Lahem Raglaim. The letters of Emes all have 2 feet, every letter. The Aleph, if you see the way an Aleph is written, if you draw a line and you write letters on top of the line, the Aleph will touch the line in two places. It has 2 feet. The Mem will touch the line all across the bottom of the Mem. The Tof will touch the line on 2 points, 2 feet. Something with 2 feet can stand. So that's to tell us that Kush Dekoy, the truth will stand forever. And this is in what we said, because truth is reality, so that's real, cannot become lost. Sheker ain't not a guy. Sheker, the letters of Sheker have no feet. No, each one has no 2 feet. It has only 1 foot. The Sheen, if you write the Sheen, it touches the line only at 1 point. The Kuf touches the line only at 1 point. And the Resh touches the line only at 1 point. Something with only 1 foot cannot stand very long. So the Chazal tell us that's to teach us Kush to Lekoi, Ik Shikra Lekoi, that Sheker, something which is not true, will not stand. It'll become lost. That's one principle Chazal tell us. Now Chazal tell us a different principle. In this world, it's very difficult to find Emes. If we look around us and we see, I mean, actually everything that we've said tonight is almost contrary. We said you look at your political debates or your most intellectual debates on television, you see an illustration of the Shiva Dvorim Begelem, the 7 qualities of the Gelem, not the 7 qualities of the Chochem, and that's supposed to be the highest, ultimate truth. Most likely the ultimate truth is illustrated in our world. It's supposed to be illustrated in our world, in the courts of law, so that we have the O.J. Simpson trial. How they could go through a year of testimony in 2 hours to come to a decision, a judgment. And so on and so on. Why is this? Not only that, but the Chazal tell us at the end of Masechta Seita that as the days proceed towards the days of the advent of the Melech HaMashiach, we will see Nedar HaEmes. We will see truth disappear even more than it has. The answer to that is all that we said is 100%. But the world that we are living in today is known as the Alma de Shikra, the world of deceit and the world of lies. And therefore, it is true what we said about Emes, but it's going to be very hard to discern it, to find it in this world. This is a world not of light, but of darkness. The world itself, the word world, olam, the sages tell us come from the word helam, laha'alim, to conceal. It's a world of darkness, it's not a world of light. Not that we cannot find light here, but you have to search for it. You have to search and look with great difficulty for it. But then you'll find it. So the Chazal tell us this also is told to us in the letters of Emes and Sheker. It states, Sheker, its 3 letters are letters which appear in the alphabet right next to each other. Shin Kuf Resh, these are 3 consecutive letters, not in the order of the, like we mentioned, they're jumbled, but Kuf Resh Shin. So the Chazal ask, why are Sheker Mekarvin Mili? The 3 letters appear one after the other in the alphabet, while Emes is Merachin Mili. But the word Emes, these are 3 letters which couldn't be further apart from each other. The Aleph is at the beginning, the Mem is at the center, and the Tof is at the end. This is to teach us that Sheker is easy to find in this world. 3 things close together are very easy to find. Emes is difficult to find in this world. That's why its letters come from all over the alphabet. This is another indication that we have from there. So these are two principles that the Chazal write on the word, on the letters of Emes and Sheker. Emes yesh lo raglaim, the letters rest on the surface, which means it'll stand forever. Shikra Sheker ein lo raglaim, while the letters of Sheker do not stand on the line, except with one point, Shikr Lekoi, they will fall. Sheker will not. No matter how strong the Sheker is, eventually they will topple. We have seen, if you study history, you see history is a constant chronicle of great and mighty nations collapsing and great and mighty monarchs collapsing. Shikra Lekoi, it will not stand. Emes will stand. Yisrael is still here. Torah is still here. Because truth is a reality, and something which is real cannot become lost. Well, what is not a reality, what is not real, it's fiction, that eventually will disappear. But the letters of Sheker are right next to each other, because you don't have to look very far to find it in this world. The letters of Emes are very far from each other, because we have to search for it in this world. That's our job in this world, to search for it. So this is the interpretation. Shiva Dvorim Begeilim V'Shiva B'Chochom, the seven qualities for the person without the seichel, and the seven qualities for the person with the seichel, the power of the seichel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, which is able to shed light in the world and ultimately understand His Torah. And through this we come to a perfect balance and a perfect order and the perfect yashrus, as it states, "Pekudei Hashem Yishorim v'sam chelev," that the mitzvahs of Hashem are perfectly upright; they do not lean to the right or to the left.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.